G'day again, Young Andy here, and welcome to another Could Have Been Champions interview of the week. This week, Julian Ross gazed up at the stars and saw Gary Dempsey, the 1975 Brownlow medalist. Gary was terribly burnt in bushfires in the late 60s after a promising start to his football career, but went on to play over 300 games over 17 or 18 years, and hell of an effort for a ruckman. The interview itself was gold, so enjoy. The Could Have Been Champions interview of the week, available at abc.net.au/couldhavebeens or couldhavebeens.com.au.
Look, up in the sky, a superstar from days gone by. Let's have a closer squiz at what it is as Professor Julian Ross gropes the scope and goes a-gazing at the stars.
Pedigree important. Dogs such as the Alaskan Malamute and Shar Pei, quality breeds. One dog with a perfect background was Gary Dempsey. Footscray recruited this ruckman from Footscray Technical School Old Boys. At 196 and 92, not the biggest ruckman by modern standards these days. Yet from his first game in 1967, Gary had a great leap and innate knack of positioning his body to hold out opponents. Not a hint of second year blues. GD's trademark was resting in the back pocket, took mark after mark, repelled other sides' continued attacks. His kicking usually found a teammate. Big number 24, a serious reverse. Badly burned at his property during the Lara bushfires of 1969. Career looked all over Red Rover. Yet Dempsey returned and thrived. Won Bullies Best and Fairest in 1970. Skipper, 1971 and 72. Also, 77 and 78. His skill at centre bounces and boundary throw-ins gave his small guys first use of the leather. Dempsey had surprising agility and endurance. Like the best sheepdog, could run all day. His footy aristocracy reinforced when he won the 1975 Brownlow. After 207 games for 105 goals, he transferred to North Melbourne in 1979, keen for finals. This occurred, but a premiership medal elusive. Gary, 122 starts at North, retired in 1984, brought playing experience in the quaffle. Gary Dempsey, among the top dogs of all time.
Thanks, Julian. And joining us online now is Gary Dempsey. Welcome to the Could Have Beens, Gary.
Oh, thank you, boys.
And just looking back over your career here, I don't know where to start. The number of games you played, I'm just mapping it onto my memories of you always seemed to be standing there on the goal line taking marks. It seemed to be impossible to score when you were dropping back into the back line.
Probably lucky they couldn't kick a long way in those days.
The other thing, Gary, is that you were one of those players that just seemed to poll well in the Brownlow right through to the very end of your career. Over the space of your career, you've accumulated nearly 250 Brownlow votes.
Oh, look, I think in those days, ruckmen were admired and liked. The umpires liked us. I think in the 70s, five ruckmen won Brownlow medals, whereas today I don't think any of them as good as Cox is. We'll win a Brownlow because everyone loves these little small guys that we make.
and you do. I mean, we've seen how important ruck work's been in finals in recent years where the rucks have almost decided the game.
Unless you're Grant Thomas.
and Gary, of course, you're one of those rare players that the way you played the game was to do with the rules actually being changed, rather like Walter Lindrum. I remember seeing that game when another Brownlow medalist just fell all over you at the centre bounce and they introduced the centre line.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed that Bill Deller didn't give me a bloody free kick.
But that would have solved it very quickly, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would have. Like, at one stage, Peter was lying on the ground. He held my left arm and I was falling over and I looked at Billy and he just said, play on.
it was an extraordinary day out at Waverley, that final. And it went on all day, and we didn't realise that the game was actually being changed before our eyes.
No, it's disappointing because I believe that the great ruckman and Cover's number one love in life, Polly Farmer,
thank you,
would probably not play today because of the centre line. I mean, I played against Justin Madden and I played against Dean Farnham, who were all 6'10", and you could sort of bustle them a bit, but today, you you know, playing Sandlands, I'd take a sledgehammer out with me and hit him.
Now, Gary, going right back to where you started at the Dogs, of course, you came there when your captain was E.J. Witten. What recollections have you had playing under E.J.?
Well, I'm very biased because I'm related to Teddy by marriage, you know, and I used to walk down the street when I was 7 and 8 year old and run into him, and it was just the most... He was the most magnificent footballer in the history of the game because he could cheat, fight, bite, kick, do everything, and was just a brilliant player, and then grab you after the game and have a drink with you. He was just, to me, the most magnificent player I've ever seen.
Mm. And, of course, when you started, did you start in the ruck straight away, Gary?
Oh, yeah, I started in the ruck against Alan Morrow, Carl Dietrich and Brian Minot.
That's a fair introduction.
And I was 18. And in the mud at Moorabbin.
And who was roving to you? Who did you make from the very start?
Oh, wee Georgie.
Wee Georgie.
Georgie Bissett.
Put it down his throat?
Oh, absolutely. Even though he'll tell you he got there quicker than anyone else, but... Yeah, and Georgie Bissett was probably one of the most underrated rovers to play the game.
Mm. Terrific player.
Gary, you've mentioned some fabulous names of opposing ruckmen already. The one modern ruckman you've mentioned is Dean Cox. Obviously, you admire his work.
I do. But, you know, you sort of look around and it's a bit like Michael Sheehan's article about fullbacks. How do you compare players in the 70s to players now in the 2000, you know, Michael talked about 22 possessions, but I reckon that nothing against Matthew Scar was a magnificent player. Mm. But how many do he gets on the chest, someone kicks the ball backwards to him? And
it's a different game, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't compare. I mean, Len Thompson, he was probably the best ruckman I ever played against. John Nichols was getting towards the end of his career, and so and I played against Polly one day and took 6 marks in the last quarter on him in a state game, but I think he was 39.
Hey, what about crackers?
Oh, look, I don't count clowns.
Don Scott?
Oh, look, I admire Scotty. We didn't like each other. I think every game we played, I punched him. But he, you know, 6'3½", and Len and I was 6'6", and 6'7", and he was just an amazing competitor, fabulous competitor. I mean, he was an inspiring bloke. He wasn't inspiring to us, but he was fairly inspiring to his teammates.
Now, you mentioned there playing for your state. I remember you one day playing with the big V on, and I think you won the game virtually by taking about half a dozen marks in the last quarter to save the game. But what was it like playing in those days? Because you must have just had the creme de la creme of Victorian footballers to play with.
You're running out with Lee Matthews, Roy Sard, Peter McKenna, Wayne Thompson, blokes like Mickey Turner, Alex Jezolinko, I mean,
Robbie Flower.
Robbie Flower, Bruce Doyle, Jeff Southby, David Dench, you know, John Rantel. I mean, John Rantel's the only bloke I ever see slept in his jacket and his tie.
And we would have known where he was the night before too.
Gary, you had a dozen distinguished years at Footscray, and then in 1979 you found yourself at North Melbourne. Was it a wrench to leave the Bulldogs?
It was a terrible wrench because Charlie Sutton was a personal friend of my family. But I ran into Simon Madden's elbow and smashed my face. And I woke up in hospital with a face that looked like a basketball, and there were a lot of problems at Footscray at the time. The players were voting on going on strike, and Billy Goggin had walked out in the club, and you know, I just thought, well, it's time to do something, you know, and to go to North Melbourne to prove yourself amongst the best players in the league was important to probably my ego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I went, and look, you regret not being a one team player. You really do, but I really enjoy my time at Northam, close to Shimmer and Benchim, guys like that, and I think I played reasonably well there.
Who do you barrack for when Footscray plays North?
Colac.
And you mentioned your admiration for EJ, but you must have also had similar admiration for Wayne Schimmelbusch and what a great player he was.
Oh, look, I think the classic photograph is the one where he's come off the ground when John Kennedy was coaching and his face is sagging with tiredness, exhaustion. And that's what I mean. When I talk to young boys, which I don't do often when I do, I talk about that because the one thing you never wanted to training was to get shimmering man-to-man.
Mm.
I mean, David then so used to get together and we'd play around with the ball and knock around in little 10-metre square and Brass used to yell at us. But if you got shimmer, the ball would end up 100 metres away. Training or playing was just, you know, he's a magnificent player. I mean, should have won a best and fairest and never. And then a superstar.
Absolutely.
You mentioned that you thought you played reasonable football for North. Well, they must have thought so because in only half a dozen seasons they put you in their team of the century, although it was on as an emergency. When do you get a call to know that you're in the team there?
I think when Teaser can't drink anymore.
So you resign never to being in the team?
No, it was an honour. I mean, footy clubs are special. No matter what year it is probably even no matter what competition it is. I went to Southport and I enjoyed that immensely. I mean, they're probably the most progressive football club in Australia, in my opinion. I mean, they've got 290 members and 1,000 members. They've got more money than Texas. Mm. I mean, I enjoyed that as well. I think it's just being in amongst the boys.
And are you involved in footy these days, Gary?
No, look, I got too old to be bashing up young blokes in training and I had a brain hemorrhage and a prostate operation. I thought that was enough.
So you've been through a bit over the years?
Yeah, my wife reckons if there's a meteorite going to hit the earth, run away from me.
Gary, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon and sharing all those memories. And you'd have to be happy with how your Bulldogs are playing.
Well, I watched them last night at halftime. I turned it off. I was disgusted. And then I listened to the radio and you blokes were saying that they were well in front. So I turned the telly back on. Look, Barrigan for a footy sign is all you know, It's a terribly frustrating thing.
Oh, you're never happy, are you?
No. But look, you've done well. And look, you talk about Teddy Whitten, I think number six of the Bulldogs. He's going to eventually be one of the greatest Bulldogs we've ever seen.
Heart and soul type of the club. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah, lovely man.
Yeah, and a great bloke, yeah.
Gary, thank you so much, and
my pleasure.
The best.
Go ahead, Gary. Bye.